Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 95 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. Can you believe it? Episode 95. We're only five away from episode 100, where we're going to have a big to-do.
The big ciento.
The big cento. Exactly. We're going to have games. We're going to have prizes.
Are we?
Yeah, sure. We're going to do all sorts of cool, wacky, fun stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a grand old time of it. Yeah. It'd be cool if we could do it live. That would be fun.
You know what? Maybe we should find a way to do that.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we'll do the podcast at location of something and invite a bunch of people to be a part of it.
That's no, and I don't like that
idea. That's not what you
I like call-ins. That's what I like.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun to be out somewhere and have a bunch of people there?
That's too much attention on me.
It's fine. As long as they're bringing us food and drinks, I'm fine.
Oh, drinks, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I think I found the magic button for Tony. So I'd like to point out also that this episode is brought to us by Yumbly.com, where you can search by craving. Yumbly lets you search for exactly what you're in the mood to eat or drink.
I'm hungry.
Thank you for always adding that in. Do we have any feedback?
We got a couple
things. I feel bad that I haven't really been paying as much attention to the feedback on Facebook, only because
the new Facebook does not notify the administrators.
You have to go back. There's a way to do it. You can go back in, and there's like 100 checkboxes to look through, and they're all in different categories. So you have to open up each one of these like 20 categories.
You know, you could just go to the fan page, and you can see what people have posted,
which is what I do. That's true. You could do that.
Yeah, we got a few things. First of all, Jason is up in arms. It's with DirecTV, so maybe you can be a little
sympathetic
with him. He says the Walking Dead premiere did not appear in HD for him, despite being shown on DirecTV's new AMC HD channel. Any info on that? He did a Google search and saw something about there being a contract negotiation point, but the details weren't that clear, and the article was from June or July. He also says other shows on the network like Breaking Bad are in HD since they added the AMC HD channel a month or so ago. He even spoke to someone at DirecTV today who thought he was talking about an old movie instead of the highly rated TV show and tried to blame it on the network instead of their service.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of DirecTV's approach to everything is to blame the networks because, you know, the networks want more money and DirecTV doesn't want to pay them anything. So they're probably both at fault. But other than that, I have no idea why.
Now, you just having seen Walking Dead on Comcast in HD, isn't a world of difference seeing it in HD?
Well, I don't need to see any particular show to know that it's a world of difference. I mean, everything is a world of
difference. I know, but that show is just so vivid and
I would disagree with that. I don't think it's...
You just want to disagree.
No. I just don't... I didn't see anything in there that made me think it was one of the best-looking HD shows on TV by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it looked less HD to me than a lot of other things do. You know what I mean? When you watch a show like Fringe in HD, like that to me is like, God, I'm so glad I'm not watching this, you know, not in HD. But I was definitely glad to be seeing The Walking Dead in HD as opposed to the tiny letterbox within a 4x3 window and mono sound. But I feel for you, Jason. That's why I left DirecTV. Although I got my own problems with Comcast, which I'll talk about later.
Jean wants us to talk about Drive, which I think you have done already.
Yeah, she didn't like it.
It's a love or hate movie. I've also heard many things.
Yeah,
about
like she felt. I exchanged a couple of emails with her, and did she write anything else there other than?
No, she just wants to talk about the love or hate.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's very violent, and I think I mentioned that when I talked about having seen it. It's very violent, and I can definitely see where if you're not into that, like if you're not a prepubescent kid who just loves anything that's gory and violent because you think it's cool, how you would maybe not, you know, wish that the movie didn't have so much of that in there. Uh-huh. And then the other thing, too, is stylistically, like I said, it really looks like a movie that was made in the 80s and sounds like one, too. I mean, the soundtrack is like an 80s movie soundtrack. So I can definitely see why some people would be put off by both the style of the film and the violence. And the other thing is it's not, you know, it's an underdone, understated movie. Like the whole intro sequence, which I found to be fantastic, there's almost no dialogue in. And I loved it. I thought it was really clever, and I really liked the way they did it. But for instance, she hated it. She thought it was terrible. Right. So yeah, it's an interesting love or hate. Anyone else seen that movie, Drive? Anyone else want to weigh in on that?
Post some comments. I want to see it though. I need to.
It's good.
See it.
It's good. I think you'd like it.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
That's really all we have.
Really.
A couple of little comments here and there.
Well,
which you can see on the fan page.
You don't want to read those?
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, I posted a comment and someone replied to
it.
Oh,
okay.
Like, I posted a comment about how I had read somewhere that Michael Keaton is actually only in Beetlejuice for 17 of the 92 minutes.
17 and 92 too many.
That
in my book.
Yeah, I don't love that movie, but isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
That's an interesting
fact. Because he's top billed, right?
Yeah, not only that, but he's the title character. He's
exactly.
on the poster. He's
yeah.
only 17 of 92 minutes.
Well, I think they smartly recognize that you can't take that for too long.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's basically Robin Williams dead is what that character was.
Okay.
I'm sorry. If Robin Williams' stand-up routine was killed, that's what that character was based on.
Which I think at this point it has been.
Skitch? What else we got?
That's it, really.
Okay. You want to get right into video games?
Let's
Should we remind Wait, people I, that they can send us email at
podcastapause.com? They can send us email.
That they can contact us at any time.
Fan page is probably better.
As long as it's not at home on the phone.
Do you check the...
What?
Podcastapause.com?
I do. Okay.
Yeah,
it comes right
Well, then that's
email.
A good way.
Yeah, it is a good way. So if you have direct questions, you want to get right to the source. Even if you have questions for some celebrity... For some, you know, filmmaker, anything like that.
Yeah,
we can get those questions answered.
We will answer on their behalf. So.
No, we'll contact them. We'll get answers. Remember I contacted Richard Curtis because I was curious about some stuff in Love Actually? He was very happy to hear from us and answered me quickly. So, you know, people
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Yeah, I contacted him because I wanted to know what the relationship was between Liam Neeson's character and Emma Thompson's character.
Weren't they brother and sister? No, that was her and Hugh Grant's character.
Right. No, they were just best friends. And I guess there was something originally that was going to be in there that was going to make that more obvious, but
I don't think you've ever mentioned that on the show before.
I did. You know what? I think it was actually one time when you weren't here that I talked about it.
You mean the one time you taped when I wasn't here?
There
was only one time.
Was there only one time?
No. Yeah. Oh. I mean, there have been many times when I wasn't here, but only once that you had recorded without me.
Yeah. I don't know. I know I mentioned it at some point.
I think it was the lowest rated show we've had, actually.
Oh, that's hilarious. I have you gotten the reports of the ratings? I need to check those ratings reports.
Yeah, actually, we get them weekly, and that
We're
was
good.
Not a good show.
Whatever.
Ready to move on to video games?
Yep.
We've got a lot to talk about,
We have a lot to talk about.
A lot of new games.
During the entire
new
show.
New exciting games.
New exciting visual games.
We have both been playing
Rage,
which I have finished.
And I have just started.
And I have to say, for the most part, I loved.
Didn't you say it was one of your top three or four games ever?
Well, it was before I had finished that I said it was in the top eight.
Yeah.
The ending is very disappointing because it's...
It just ends.
It just ends.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
very
you know what's weird? You know what's weird? The beginning is the same way. The game just like starts.
Yeah. But there's no fanfare at the end, so I'm a little...
Yeah. There was no...
And I also don't like when there's many things to do in a game, like side quests and stuff, when it just ends and then you can't go back after having finished in that same... game and finish your side quest, you have to go back to a previous save.
Which is just dumb. Because it breaks the whole continuity of
it. It does, because then you haven't, according to the game, you haven't finished the last quest and blah, blah, blah.
You know, and that was, as I've said before, that was one of my biggest beefs with Fallout 3 was it just seemed like nothing you did really had any effect on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I remember... And I think I talked about this before. There was this one quest where you find this little enclave that was seemingly untouched by the devastation. There's like a lot of foliage and this big, beautiful tree. And then you find out the tree is alive. And really, it's just a guy who was mutated with a tree. So it's like half tree, half human.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a decision to make where you can either help him and kill him because he's sick of being a tree who can't move.
Right.
Or you can go along with the crazy people who live near him who think he's a god and... help that tree proliferate, which will start making other areas around there start to grow again. And so I chose to do that. And, you know, the tree was upset with me about it, But, like, nothing ever happened. If you went back there, you know, a month later in game time, nothing would have grown around that.
Right.
It's like, if you're going to do something like that,
right,
follow it through.
Right.
You know? And so I didn't like that about Fallout 3. And there's some things about this game that remind me a lot of Fallout 3 already, but...
Well, the world is similar.
Said,
I mean,
yeah,
the
world is similar.
I mean, when I first started playing, because I didn't play much Fallout 3, but of course I loved Borderlands and played that till the end. And there's a lot of this at the beginning that reminded me of Borderlands.
Yeah.
Once you start playing it, it certainly takes its own character on. But
a lot of the mechanics of this, I find very appealing, and I
like
so far.
And I have to say, the things I have told you this off air. The things that it does really well.
Yeah.
And you would hope so. I mean, it's id, and they made, you know, Doom and Quake and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but I will say on the PC, it is extremely flaky.
I've read tons of stuff on that.
When I first tried to run it, it wouldn't run at all. So then I updated my drivers, and then it ran, but it was so glitchy, and the screen was flickering so much that I couldn't even play it. So I got a beta driver that was supposed to address some of the issues, and it calmed down the flickering somewhat. But there's still a ton of flickering and just like random textures appearing on screen and random
that's annoying.
Polygons and stuff just appearing on screen. It's just so glitchy. It's probably the least polished game from a major studio I can remember playing.
And that's such a shame because it really is the most beautiful game I've ever played.
It's amazing. Like when you first get out of your little thing that you're in at the very beginning,
the
and you step outside and you look around. I mean, just like the clouds and the sun and everything. It's like almost photorealistic in some places.
And one thing you really like is when you go into different areas. I mean, because there are different areas you'll base yourself out of, a few of them in the game, and each one is completely different from the other.
Yeah, see, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
All so detailed and so cool and a personality of their own.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
I really, really enjoyed it. I wish it could have gone on a little longer, and
you wish it would have ended
the ending. Yeah. I read a lot of complaints about the story. You know what? I don't need a game that's so heavily story driven. I mean, I just want it to be fun, and this game for me was.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it.
Cool.
And I really enjoy the physics to it. Like when you're shooting, like you shoot someone in the head, and like, you know, there's probably 10 different ways that they
can react to that.
They react to that.
Right.
And I think the AI in the enemy was great.
Yeah.
So
did you, what level did you, difficulty level did you play?
Easy.
Yeah. I always play easy. No. You know why? It's easy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least easier. I still have trouble sometimes. Get a guy coming down on the zip line, I can't hit him in the head. Yeah, that's tricky. It's a moving target.
But I'm going to go back and finish the stuff I didn't finish, the little side things.
Yeah. I like that you can find little things all over the place.
Right.
Like little surprises and stuff.
I also like that when you do quests, rather than just like getting a little money or just like, you know, it's just you're finishing the quest to like get another quest or something, you usually get an item.
Yeah. Like,
especially at the beginning, the first half of the game.
Right. Like the first thing I got was some armor to go under my outfit or over it or whatever. And then supposedly one of the quests I'm on, when I'm finished with that, I get my own car, which is kind of cool. So,
it is cool.
And another guy promised me a much better weapon if I did this thing that, you know, that he wants me to do. So, yeah,
do
that
weapon's
cool. I'm going to totally do it.
You should totally do it.
I'm totally going to do it.
I have also started playing Batman Arkham City.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool as well. I mean, certainly a continuation of the last one. I mean, the mechanics and everything are the same.
So, let's extrapolate this out. You had Arkham Asylum.
Right.
Now you got Arkham City. Is the next going to be Arkham Earth?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Arkham City, which, you know, in Arkham Asylum, you're kind of restricted to that small space. And here you have an entire, like, city, you know, part of Gotham. And so just traveling through the whole city is the most fun part of it because you kind of, like, grapple, almost like Spider-Man. You kind of grapple to the top of buildings and, and statues and stuff to get through the city. So just traveling through the city, I mean, just doing that is fun. And there's tons of, like, side stuff. I mean, it's kind of linear as far as the main quests you have to do, but there's so many side quests, like, just scattered throughout the city that I've just, like, in the last couple hours I've been playing, I've just been, like, you know, exploring the city and doing all kinds of little side things and having a lot of fun with it. And the characters, let me say one thing. If you buy the game new, which you should, just because it's just a couple dollars more, and then you get the code for Catwoman...
Okay.
Put the code in before you start playing the game because then you get the Catwoman chapters interspersed in the game.
As opposed to doing them all later separately or something?
Right.
Oh, okay.
And the Catwoman, because they kind of, you know, they're just intercut in the game.
Right, right.
They're not something that you, like, choose. Like, oh, I'm going to do a Catwoman mission now. I mean, it's part of the story.
Right, if you do it from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are a lot of fun as well, and they're a nice little break from, you know, being Batman.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. And you're playing it on what platform?
I played both Rage and this on PS3.
Okay. Do you not really use your Xbox too much anymore?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing. I still haven't finished Crysis 2, which I'm still loving. That's, okay. That's on Xbox.
Yeah. And did you finish Deus Ex?
No, I returned it. I didn't love it.
You loved it at the beginning. I bought it because you loved it so much, yeah. And then you didn't love it anymore.
You should wait, you know, a little while for me to give my final
verdict. Always wait and see if your love fades.
Well, it didn't for Rage, so I'm glad you bought it.
Yeah, I
think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. Plus, it was free because I had a bunch of Best Buy rewards.
Ah, so well, there's that as well.
That was even better. So it wasn't really like I bought it anyway.
You're allowed to talk about this next thing, aren't you?
No. Why?
I believe you are.
Really?
Someone had written an article on it because they said the embargo was lifted.
Oh.
But yeah. You know what, though? Don't.
Might be for them.
Don't take my word
for
it.
Might be for them. No, I played some more of Star Wars The Old Republic. All I'll say is that I played. What I wanted to do was I wanted to go in and play a different class to see if the starting area for that class, or starting areas, I should say, are more interesting than for the Jedi. And I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying there's Jedi in this game. But no, it really isn't.
No.
No. I just wish there was more diversity in what you see and what you encounter. You know, it's like, remember when I was talking about how what was that MMO that was based on superheroes?
City of Heroes? Was that the name of it?
Was it City of Heroes? Well, I know City of Heroes
or
is a
Champions
game.
Online.
Champions Online.
Okay.
Okay, so remember I didn't like that, yeah. And then they came out with the Star Trek Online game that was by the same people.
Right.
And I was talking about how one of the things I couldn't stand is how everything was kind of monochromatic and all had this like blue tint to it, and everything was very like the interface didn't really stand out from the game world, and I just didn't think visually they did a very good job of it. I kind of feel the same thing about this. Like everything sort of blends in together. You know, again, I think if you're going to make an MMO, you have to at least look at World of Warcraft and Guild Wars to see how people do things the right way.
Right.
And then go do whatever you're going to do with the whole MMO thing. Because...
So what you're saying is study from the best.
If you don't want to just be the rest.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you for helping me work that out. Appreciate that. But we'll see. You know, I'll keep giving it, you know, some time here and there to see how it plays out. But I don't know. I can't see paying for it every month right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to come out in the next month or so.
December 20th, I
believe. Yeah, so I mean, okay, so 2 months from now. Yeah. Seems like there's a lot left to do before you'd want to release that bad boy. No.
That's not a good answer.
No. And I'm sure people will get it just because it's Star Wars.
Yep.
But... I wish there was a lot more to it than there is so far. That's all I'm saying. All right, you got some more miscellaneous?
I got some miscellaneous.
Let's hear the miscellaneous.
Batman Arkham City will swing onto PCs on November 18th.
Aha!
So there's that.
There is that.
Very reliable sources have reported that the next Xbox console will debut at E3 in 2013 with a nationwide release during the 2013 holiday season.
That is 2 years from now, ladies and gentlemen.
It's very soon.
I think this is the longest we've had to go between generations of systems, right?
But I don't feel that I don't feel that either of these are exhausted.
No.
By any means.
No, definitely not.
So,
but part of that feeling of these things being exhausted comes from the buzz around a new system,
right? So, we'll see.
You know,
yeah. Once I'm anxious to see details, what will make this new system so much better.
Well, you know,
it will have to be a jump. They can't just come out with something that like.
Yeah, right. There's got to be something a lot different about it.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I agree.
This
month marks the 10th anniversary of Grand Theft Auto 3, one of just a few games that shaped the current state of gaming. And Rockstar is celebrating by releasing the historic game on the iPad and iPhone 4S this fall.
Wow.
Which is actually pretty exciting, and I can't imagine playing that on an iPhone.
I have never played any
you
of those
should.
Games.
That's
so.
If you're going to play one, that's the one. Actually, Vice City was good too. But
so I'll get it on the iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how it would control though. We'll see how that does.
Yeah.
The PS Vita finally has a U.S. release date, February 22nd of next year.
That is loca.
That is the Vita loca.
I'm just saying.
Sony and Naughty Dog, the makers of the Uncharted series, are doing a little something new for Uncharted 3, which debuts in 2 weeks. That's exciting to me.
That is exciting.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I'm excited about this because, you know, I got the Walmart gift card coming my way.
Better
if it gets here before
wisely.
Christmas, I'm going to use it to buy Christmas presents. Gets here after Christmas, I'm going to give myself a little post-Christmas present of the PS3.
Let's not forget a birthday that comes in January as well. They are offering.
My birthday's not in January.
They are offering all future DLC, which will total over $45 worth of items, for a one-time fee of $24.99 at launch time.
Wow. That's kind of taking advantage of
people. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you for seeing how I see that.
Yeah. I mean,
because you know a lot of it's going to be like multiplayer maps.
I guess
that
it's a good deal. Nobody's fooled by what they're doing. They're getting a guaranteed amount of money, and you're getting something for half price almost. So if you wanted all that
but
stuff.
Well, that's my point. I mean, because a lot of times a game will have DLC. Like, I don't play a lot of multiplayer, so I'm not going to want any of the extra maps or any of that. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would take it as it comes. Decide what I want.
I hear you.
By the time this airs, Sony will most likely have cemented a deal with Ubisoft to bring the world of Assassin's Creed to the big screen.
I could see that being all right.
Yeah.
If they get a good story going.
Right.
You know, it's all about the story in the movies.
It's all about the stories.
All about the stories.
Yeah. And finally, the Angry Birds download number has just surpassed 400 million.
I still don't get it.
I love it.
I still do not get it.
By the way, today there was a new update for Angry Birds Seasons with a new Halloween pack.
Like every time I see that commercial on the TV with the birds, the Google commercial, I just fast forward it. I don't get it at all.
Love Angry Birds. They're just so angry.
Are you getting all the pillows and t-shirts and
don't love them that much.
Bed sheets?
I am also an adult, so there's that.
Well, really? You going to use that as an argument?
Yep.
And still, when you see what's going on around you in the world? I don't think that means anything. Just saying. Is that it for miscellaneous?
That's it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
And what are you talking about?
When we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Me either. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV.
Television.
And I think there's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about.
Let's start
to talk about
with The X Factor.
The X Factor.
I personally find this show to be a complete train wreck.
I'm enjoying it much more than you.
Yes. I don't really like it. Okay, so they had their version of Hollywood Week or whatever, which was, about 7 minutes long, right?
Right.
And then the next thing you know, the contestants,
Boot Camp, I believe it was called,
are being whisked all over the country.
The world, because Simon Cowell is in the south of France.
Oh, that's where his house is?
Yeah.
To the homes of the four judges, supposedly, all of whom apparently live in ginormous mansions.
With beautiful pools. Well, I don't doubt that they live in these beautiful mansions.
Well, when we talked about it before, you said you didn't think...
I don't know that that's really Nicole Scherzinger's house, but...
Why are you dissing on her?
I just don't think she has the money that the others have.
Really?
Because when they went to her house, the contestants were saying, oh, this must be L.A. Reid's house because this is the biggest house in the neighborhood, and you would think him or Simon Cowell would be the richest. And
yeah.
I find it hard to believe that she has the biggest house in, what she live in, Malibu, I think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but come on. You think the people who were saying that actually did a architectural survey of the surrounding areas? And
fair enough.
I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, so they're at the mansions of all these people who are the judges, and then the judges each bring in another celebrity to help them judge.
Some big celebrities.
But unfortunately, Simon's celebrity, Mariah Carey, couldn't catch a flight or was arrested or something.
I don't know if I buy that. No,
so,
they blamed it on Hurricane Irene.
And so he just decided to do
it himself. I
blame
it on Hurricane Mariah.
Exactly. And so he just decided to do it himself with the help of some guy who was cutting the grass or whatever.
Right.
So,
even if Mariah Carey had been there, those are some huge names. Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Pharrell. Enrique Iglesias.
I'd never heard of Pharrell before.
You would
this.
Not know who Pharrell was.
I did not know who Pharrell was. Enrique Iglesias. I'm sorry. What is going on exactly with Rihanna's hair on that show?
What
did she like scalp?
She had big hair.
Farrah Fawcett right before death or something, and just put her hair on her head. It was the weirdest hair I've ever seen on that woman.
I have to say, there's not a lot of pop music I really like, but I enjoy the Rihanna.
Yeah, she's all right. I like her accent.
And they certainly enjoy her on that show that a lot of those contestants were singing Rihanna songs, not only to her, but to the other judges as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Their own, I don't know, stylings of a Rihanna song.
So then these people come out and they sing Poolside to the judges. But what was strange was that even though they were outside, and even though the only other people there were the judges and maybe a guy with a piano, they had fully produced tracks.
Totally overproduced tracks. I mean, with like...
And they were lip-syncing.
Modulation and vibrato.
Yeah, and they were lip-syncing. Yeah. There were backup singers, even though there were no other people around.
Right.
It was the weirdest thing. It was
I have to say, I was very entertained by the performances.
Yeah.
And I like that it was all popular songs, but done in that singer's style. And I enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, it's easy to laugh at, and, you know, it's completely, like, fake and made up.
And I'll continue to do so.
Yeah. But I'm not going to say I wasn't entertained. I was not entertained by the result show, which was 2 hours of just filler. Like,
nonsense.
Just tell us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tell
us. They always
drag
it out so long. And then they had to do this big dramatic thing where Simon realized he made a mistake, and then he went to the... I love when he goes to the home of all these people.
You know what? I didn't even stay on for that.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Who did he make the mistake with?
The girl who he cut in favor of the kid.
Which was who? Wasn't Jaslyn.
No.
He never brought Jaslyn.
No, he didn't bring Jaslyn.
Jaslyn should still be on that show.
I agree. I did see a couple of her performances. No, this other girl who I thought was very good, and I was surprised that he cut her in favor of the kid. And then he realizes he made a mistake, so he goes to her house, you know, with a full camera crew and everything, and goes in. He's like, "Well, I know you weren't expecting me." Really? You just took a chance that maybe she wasn't at work, and she just happens to have 30 relatives at her house at the moment that you show up? Give me a break. It was just so ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I wonder which girl that was. Yeah, I didn't stay for the end of the result. It just, after an hour of result show, I'm just like, okay, I'll just see who...
Well, because it's an hour-long result show.
No, it was 2 hours long.
Okay, 2-hour result show with like 2 minutes worth of results.
Right, that's my point. That's why I can only stay for half of it. I'm like, I can't waste any more
time. It's still not as bad as the Voice. The filler on the Voice was just pathetic.
But you know how they were supposed to like coach these people? We saw no coaching whatsoever.
There was no coaching.
At all.
And I still don't understand.
Just was more auditions.
I still don't understand what the coaches, quote unquote, get out of being the one who...
No, but I mean, there was not
the
even...
Winning
an, at least
person.
On The Voice, you saw a little coaching. There was
but
no
like,
coaching
what do
here.
The coaches get out of coaching these people?
Well, they get the bragging rights of coaching.
But did they get the contract in their name so they make money off of it?
I don't know.
How does that work? I don't know.
I don't get it either.
I don't know.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it more.
Well, I will say there's some good talent on it, but the groups is just ridiculous. The groups should not be on there. None of those groups is going to win.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
The Frank Sinatra guy, he's not going to win.
He's not going to win.
The 59-year-old guy.
The 14-year-old rapper, he's
not going to win.
Nope.
You mean Astro?
Yeah.
The space dog?
Or Rastro, yeah.
Rastro?
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, so you've been watching Pan Am 2?
I have seen the first two episodes.
Yeah, and?
I think that'll be it for me.
Yeah, you're done?
It is a chick show.
Absolutely. I disagree.
No, you are wrong.
Come on, there's spy stuff on there.
The first episode, okay, I'm like, but then the second episode, it's a chick show.
You know what? I didn't see the second episode. I only saw the first one and the third one. The third one where they went to Berlin.
I mean, it's all about like
the one where they went to Berlin was
and like women empowerment. It absolutely is. There's a little espionage thrown in, but it's all it's a woman empowerment blah blah blah.
I don't know. I didn't get that. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't think that was all there was to it. But at the same time, I'm not really compelled by it.
No,
I'm not really compelled.
Well,
by,
I mean, yeah, that goes. Along
I'm not really
I'm
compelled
well.
By anything new this season.
Right.
Like, there's no new show this season.
I'm going to talk about something later that I'm a little compelled by.
Okay. In a good way or a bad way?
In kind of a guilty pleasure way.
Oh God. This
ought
to be
good.
It's
coming up later.
All right. So you didn't see the third episode?
I did not. I have a tape though.
Okay.
I have the third and the
fourth
tape.
Okay. So you know Colette, who?
That's the French one.
Right.
Yes.
And I thought her little storyline in the pilot was awesome.
Yes.
I loved when when she goes to give the drawing back to the wife, and she's like, why don't you keep that as a reminder not to sleep with other women's husbands?
That was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So in the third episode...
Well, in the second episode, she warms up to the pilot who was supposed to...
Right. Right.
Who
was supposed
to
be engaged with the girl
Bridget
who disappeared.
Or whatever her name was.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, and I didn't see that, but it was on the previews, so yeah. I knew that that was happening. So in the third episode, they go to Berlin at the time that Kennedy's there to give his famous speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Christina Ricci's character, who I don't really remember any of their names other than Colette, but she is like a huge Kennedy fan, and I wasn't really clear whether she was making this up or not, but she, you know, wanted to meet him like so badly. And so she's trying the whole time because they're flying a charter of press to Berlin to cover the event. And so she's trying the whole time to, like, you know, flirt with different people in the press so that they'll invite her to go to the party where Kennedy's going to be.
Uh-huh.
And you find out later in the episode that Colette's family, her parents were taken away by the Nazis when the Germans, you know, occupied France. And she was only 3 at the time, which kind of irked me a little bit because usually as an adult, you really don't remember anything that happened when you were 3. You know what I mean? Other than somebody told you that, you know, this happened, you wouldn't have those kind of strong personal memories in most cases of things that happened when you were 3. But anyway, so she was, you know, so she finally reveals that that's why she's like kind of freaked out being there and everything. And she has this little mini meltdown where she starts drinking at the party because they finally get into the party, right? So she starts drinking at the party and she's talking to the pilot who introduces her to some like U.S. you know, politician and the German politician guy that he's standing there with. And she the German guy says, oh, your German is very good. And she's like, oh, I was forced to learn when the Germans occupied France. And everyone kind of was like, oh, you probably really shouldn't be saying that.
Right.
And so she starts to walk out. She's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Here, let me make it up to you. And she goes up to the guy playing the piano and she whispers something to him. And she starts singing what I'm assuming is like the German national anthem. And she's like got this look of hatred and, you know, she starts crying while she's singing it. And the whole place is speechless and she walks out.
Well, that's actually interesting.
It was yeah. interesting. And it was really well done. And I think that woman,
I've
never seen her before, but I think she's a very good actor.
Yeah.
And the spy stuff was actually good in this episode too, because the girl who's a spy met up with...
I like that actress, the one who plays the spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're all good. In fact, Christina Ricci is probably the most hammy of all of them so far. But I think they're all pretty good. But the spy stuff was really good in this episode.
Okay. I'll stick with it.
So, and then we have also both seen the pilot of...
The best show on TV.
I disagree, but
the pilot,
a good show.
But the right. season premiere.
Yeah, the season premiere of The Walking Dead.
It is the best show on TV.
You are not watching Fringe, which is why you're saying that.
But I will still stand by The Walking Dead.
Not once you start watching Fringe. Just saying. But anyway, it was very good. It was a very good season premiere. Very intense.
Very intense.
Much better in HD than in no D, which is what I was watching
before.
Yeah. A couple things that made me upset about the episode, which I mentioned to you at lunch.
Yeah, I think we should wait a week.
Really?
Yeah, some people may not be up.
Okay.
Well, it's minor.
What's
you could
the
say
point?
The one. You could
What's
say the one thing you said.
No, there were 2 things.
I know, but the main thing you said, the first thing you said.
Okay, so the beginning of the episode.
Well, you don't have to go into details.
Right. Just I'm just saying they're.
I know, but you're going to like.
No, they're.
Spoil
they're,
too much.
They're just trying to fix the RV. And so Dale's on top of the RV, keeping an eye out for zombies.
Right.
Right. Because the zombies want to eat your brains. And so, as I learned from Plants vs. Zombies. And if only they had some pea shooters, they'd be fine.
Right. Right.
Pea shooters and sunflowers. Have they not picked up an iPhone? What's going on with these people? Anyway, so Dale's on top of the RV keeping an eye out, and he's like, you know, it's all good, it's all good. And then a couple minutes later, all of a sudden you see him looking through the binoculars, and uh-oh, obviously there's some zombies coming. And so they all start to, like, hide under the cars and stuff. And there's this shot where the camera, like, kind of cranes up, and the zombies are, like, right on top of them. But if you look down the road, it's like 3 miles down the road that then eventually kind of the highway kind of turns and, you know, goes, it's all like in some forest and stuff like that. And it's like, How did the zombies sneak up on him?
Right.
From 3 miles away.
Because they move so slow, first of all.
Right. They're like barely moving. Right. And there's like, you know, there's a lot of them in this particular group. And how is it that he was surprised? They never should have shown that shot because it made it retarded then.
Right. What I was pointing out to you also that I want to repeat is that this was another episode where I felt the human drama of the episode made the whole zombie part of it secondary.
Right.
Like, right. It didn't just focus on the zombies. It was more about the...
Yeah, and I think that's why this show works. It's because, like, in the original Star Wars trilogy, how the whole outer space and sci-fi-ness of it all was backdrop, the whole zombie thing is kind of backdrop to the human stories.
Right.
And that's why it works.
That's why it's the best show on TV.
Except for Fringe. Okay, so what else have you been watching?
Okay, I have started watching a show just based on the TV commercials, because commercials look kind of good in the way that Ringer looked kind of good to me.
Yeah.
Have you seen the commercials for the show Revenge?
I saw one recently.
So
who's the main person in that?
Some girl that I'd never seen in.
Really?
She's been in episodes of like Torchwood or Everwood and not Torchwood, Everwood and Brothers and Sisters. She was in The Ring 2.
I thought there was somebody famous.
Well, Madeline Stowe's in it.
I would have to see a picture.
Really? Of Madeline Stowe? You know who Madeline Stowe is?
I think I do, but I'd have to see
a picture. What, are you
crazy? Let me see a picture of Madeline Stowe. Oh, okay.
Huge, like, yeah. 80s, 90s actress.
Sure, right. Dozen Monkeys.
Right, exactly.
So anyway...
Oh, so it was on Hulu. So I'm like, you know what? I'll watch the first episode. And I have to say, it's I'm enjoying it in a guilty pleasure kind of way, in the way that I was enjoying Ringer, to the point where I had to pick between the two because I don't have time to watch both.
Okay.
I just started a new job. I don't have a lot of time. So
right. So
I've given up on Ringer.
So you didn't see the most recent one?
No. I haven't seen the last four, actually.
Really?
There's been 6 episodes already. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I cannot believe you didn't see the last episode.
Oh, was it good? Don't say that.
It's gotten a lot better.
Oh, I should go back then.
Yeah,
I deleted
it's intense.
Them. I hope it's on Hulu.
It's intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying the Revenge.
We'll make time for both.
It's hard to do.
Because I got to talk about Ringer when it's my turn.
I'll let you talk about it. Okay. But I am enjoying Revenge. Now, keep in mind, I believe it is, no, it's ABC, but it's got a CW feel to it.
Slightly. Was there a prom?
Slightly. I would not be surprised
if
there is
sooner
in fact
or later,
a prom at some point.
Madeline Stowe is a chaperone.
Like I just keep saying it is guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
But
okay.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
It is pleasure.
Now, what is this next thing? Because I hear people talking about it, but I don't know what it is.
This is some scary stuff.
Really?
American Horror Story.
Now,
is the new show on FX.
Is this a drama or is
it
like based on reality?
No.
Okay.
It's a drama on FX. It's a horror show, actually. And you know I'm not a big fan of the horror genre.
Right.
But I thought I'd check it out. It's by the creators of Glee.
Okay.
Who were the creators of Nip Tuck.
Okay.
And you can tell that they are getting all their dark sides out because they've been spending so much time making Glee.
Right.
They're going the complete opposite direction with
it.
Back
the other way, yeah.
Because it is... It's pretty graphic. It's pretty sexual. Absolutely sexual.
Yeah.
And pretty intense.
Wasn't Nip Tuck very sexual, though?
Yeah, yeah. Extremely. Yeah. And this is, too.
Now, what is the overall premise? I don't even know that.
Kind of Amityville Horror-ish. Okay. I mean, this couple moves it. They want to start their life over. I mean, I could tell this part because...
Why did they want to start their life over?
Because the wife had caught the husband. They have a child that's like an older teen. And like they just started to get a little complacent in their marriage. So she caught her husband cheating.
Okay.
So they moved to another town start over.
Huh? Yeah. Not with the daughter, I hope.
No.
Well, I didn't know if it was about Woody Allen.
No. Anyway, she catches her husband cheating. So they moved to another town to kind of start over. And so they move into this house that where killings that happened in the past
are affecting.
And so far, every episode starts with like killings that have happened in the house, like a lot of killings that have happened in this house, apparently.
Yeah.
And
imagine the bad luck.
Right?
Real estate agent's nightmare.
Well, that's how the episode starts is like after they show the killing is they go in and they're like, how is this house so cheap? Because it's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And so she tells them and they're like, well, whatever. So they move in. Anyway.
Really? You don't ever say, well, whatever, when somebody tells you that.
Well, that's my problem with this and any of these haunted house shows or movies is that then creepy stuff starts to happen. And like,
yeah,
you know, if it were anyone of any sane mind, they'd be like, let's get the hell out.
Right. Especially if somebody had told you why the house hadn't sold in the first place.
Well, and then, so right next door, you have creepy Jessica Lange is on the show.
Yeah.
So you have creepy Jessica Lange and her, I'm not saying this in a disparaging way, that the character actually has like Down syndrome.
Okay.
And the Down syndrome girl that keeps breaking into the house, telling him, you're going to die, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out.
Yeah, right.
I'm out the first time that happens.
Right, right. Just, there only needs to be one time
right.
that happens.
So all kinds of killings and gory stuff. And yeah. But it's been enjoyable.
And yet they stay in the house.
They stay in the house and deny the fact
it's going to be a short season, 6 episodes or so, maybe, I'm guessing. British TV show,
but
maybe.
But it's done really well. I mean, the quality of it is really good.
Yeah.
So,
but
spooky.
Well, of course, like I said, we've been watching The Fringe, which is fantastic still and is getting even more fantastic.
Even more fringilicious.
Even more fringilicious, definitely. I don't want to say anything. This is one of those shows that you really can't say anything, you know, specific, but... this episode was very good, and I think I'm really going to enjoy what's going to be on tonight's episode. So let's just leave it at that. Doctor Who is, I believe, over for the season. I think that's the end of the season. And it wrapped up nicely. There was a nice surprise at the end of the season, and I'm sure they'll be back next year. Although I believe next season is going to be a shorter season. A little cost savings by the BBC, apparently. Ringer. Okay. So I'm just going to give you the up till now on the Ringer because you know how it started. Right.
But
right?
Don't,
I'm not
going
to go into too much detail.
Yeah. Because I will try to go back and I hope it's on
but
Hulu.
Then I can't tell you.
Well, you can tell me some stuff. You could tell me big stuff. Just don't go into, because then if you tell me every detail, it's not worth watching.
Okay. All right. So let's just say this. At some point, So she thinks that...
Let me ask one question, because I hope they address this, and this is one of the issues I had. How is she going to fake being pregnant?
I don't know. They haven't really addressed that yet.
I like that that's never been a concern of hers yet.
Well, it wouldn't be for at least 3 months anyway.
I know, but at some point it has to be a concern for her.
Right, but the show that you've seen so far, I mean, up till the current episode, has only been 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very compressed time frame.
Okay.
So, and she didn't find out she was pregnant at the beginning of that either. It was, you know, a couple episodes in, one or two episodes in, right?
No, it was by the second.
Was it?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, I'm trying to think of which parts I need to tell you. So she, let's see. So she knows that somebody's trying to kill her sister, right?
Uh-huh.
And she thinks it's the husband. And so then she gets all upset about that, but then she realizes it's not necessarily and probably isn't the husband. So her and the husband basically make a pact that they're going to really try hard to get back to the good relationship that they had before. And so it's her birthday, and so her husband decides that they're going to go out to their place in the Hamptons. So they're out there, and they are surprised by Gemma and her husband, who, you know, the real...
She had an affair with, yeah.
And who she's pregnant by. So...
They've solidified that.
Well, they're between the guy, between Gemma's husband and you know... Well, Gemma's husband is certain that it's his.
Okay.
I'm guessing timing...
But I always thought that there was a possibility that
Well, you would think there would have to be, because otherwise the husband would be pissed beyond belief.
Right.
So there had to be a possibility, but the Gemma's husband is convinced that it's his.
Right.
So anyway... So she is surprised by the two of them showing up too. And apparently they used to go out, the four of them used to go out there all the time. And that's where her and the husband used to get together. So he wants to do that. And she tells him, look, I told you it's over, da, 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 da. And Gemma overhears that conversation. And to prevent a giant blowout, she tells Gemma the truth, that she is Gemma's best friend's twin sister.
Oh, she tells her
the real truth. And so Gemma doesn't believe her, and then she's watching a video of her later at some party that they were at, like in the past, and she notices and remembers that Siobhan had a scar on one of her arms from burning herself on something. And so she goes and she confronts, you know, Bridget, and she's like, let me see your arm. She's like, what are you talking about? And she pulls her sleeve up. She's like, oh my God, you don't have a scar. So now she knows that she's telling her the truth. And she's like, you have any idea how wrong it is what you're doing and da 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 and all this stuff? She's like, so you're going to do something for me. So she tells Siobhan, you know, Bridget, that she wants her to sleep with her husband so that she can catch him in the act so that she can divorce him and prevent him from taking all of her money. And if she doesn't, then she's going to go to that FBI agent.
You know
and
what?
Tell her.
I like that story. Okay. I like that.
So Bridget goes to meet him and tells him what Gemma wants to do. Now, she doesn't tell him the truth, but she tells him, you know, your wife knows that we had an affair and she's trying to ruin you. And so you need to, you know, you need to work things out with your wife. And, you know, you loved her once, you can do it again and whatever. So the husband then confronts Gemma and he's like, did you tell her that you were going to, you know, divorce me and like take our kids and prevent me from whatever? So now Bridget's husband goes over to their apartment because he, I forget why, he wanted to talk to the husband about something. Right. And the husband opens the door and he's like, what do you want? He's like, well, can I come in? I just want to talk about it. He's like, no, I'm kind of busy right now. So you're assuming now that he's got some other girl, you know, in there with him or whatever. No, he kills his wife. Gemma's dead.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to go back
to it. It was pretty cool. Like, I was not expecting that at all.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And meanwhile,
what happened to the daughter?
The daughter
still hooked on drugs.
She's still hooked on drugs, although it seems like she's gonna come back down.
And her and Bridget are kind of friends.
Yeah. Well, what happened is she finally like told her dad that the reason that she hates Bridget so much is because she, is because she, has affairs with married men. And you think that she knew about her and Gemma's husband, but she was talking about her own dad because he met Siobhan when he and the daughter's mom were still married. And so she like lets it all out and Siobhan's like, you know what, you're absolutely right. And the husband's like, no, she needs to apologize. And Bridget's like, no, not this time, she doesn't. She's right. You know, we've done some bad things and she has every reason to be
mad. So where's the real Siobhan?
The real Siobhan is in Paris. And she was like kind of hooked up with this guy who was another American who just happened to be in this bar that she was in. And they were kind of, getting into it at her apartment or wherever. And then she kicks him out and runs into the bathroom and starts throwing up. So she's probably pregnant. Starting to figure out that she's pregnant. Now, meanwhile, we still don't know who hired, you know, did she hire somebody to kill her sister knowing that her sister was taking her place or,
right.
You know, what's the deal? But so we really don't know anything more about that. But the rest of it has gotten.
And how would she know that her sister would, in fact, take her place?
So hopefully that's not it, because that would be right. A little convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yep. But yeah, I think you might want to go back to it. It's pretty good.
I have to. Now it's time for your CW corner here.
Yeah, my CW corner. We've been watching Supernatural season 6, which we finished. And it was the end of the season was sort of a like holy you know what kind of moment. Holy schmollys. What happens is, you know, during the entire season, you find out that Castiel has been trying to work with Crowley to get into Purgatory because he wants the power of all the souls in Purgatory, all the monsters, so that he can defeat Raphael, because if Raphael gets all the power, he's going to make the apocalypse happen and world as we know it.
And then there's no prom.
And then there's no prom. So at the end.
I hope you can hear everything you're saying.
At the end, it's
really hearing what you're saying.
Wait, you said the bit about the prom. Okay, there was no prom on this show.
I know, really, what you're saying is ridiculous as well, but go ahead.
The show is called Supernatural. What do you want? So at the end, you think that Castiel has actually done something good and tricked Crowley and Raphael into getting the souls themselves, knowing that it's going to overpower them. But no, he doesn't. He tricks Crowley into working with Raphael and giving them fake human blood. It was just dog's blood. Okay. So they couldn't actually do the spell. And so Castiel went and got all the souls in Purgatory for himself. And
can you hear yourself right now?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a grown man.
And yeah. All right. Whatever. And, I was going to make a joke, but I couldn't remember the name of the video game. I was going to go all the way back. I was going to circle all the way back to the first episode, Little Big Planet, and make that joke. But anyway, so what's going on? Somebody, what's happening here? There's music. Oh my God. Kelsey needs
control.
To learn how to
be under
work
control.
Her electronics. So anyway, so Castiel basically took all the souls for himself, and Sam sneaks up behind him and tries to kill him with the angel spike.
Sure.
And and Castiel says, well, you know, that's not going to work on me. I'm not an angel anymore. I'm your new god, and you're going to kneel down before me and profess your love, or I'm going to destroy you. And that's how it ends. I mean, could you believe that?
Some,
it's crazy.
That has some other
it was crazy
insinuations there too.
Well, it's only in your world.
It's not right.
And then Smallville season 6, we're still watching that. I think we're almost done with that. That show's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The later seasons, because it's much more sci-fi now, and like Lex Luthor's into some crazy, crazy stuff. And Tom O'Pennicott from Battlestar Galactica has been on a couple episodes as like this super soldier who Luthor Corp manufactures to try to fight off the, you know, the meteor freaks, as he calls them. It's actually really good. Really enjoying that. But I don't want to, you know, that's 4 years old, so I don't need to talk about that.
Neither here
Other than that, I'm enjoying it. And there's no prom because they've been out of high school for 2 years, so don't even bring it.
But there was a prom.
There was at least one prom. Yeah.
There's always a prom.
There's always a prom. All right.
Ready for some miscellaneous?
You'll be talking about that soon if you're watching CW shows. So, yeah, go ahead.
This week's season premiere of The Walking Dead broke the record for most watched drama episode on basic cable.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Wonder what else would... Like what
Apparently
other shows?
It broke a decade long record.
Yeah, what was it before that?
I don't know. It didn't say in the article. I look for it.
That's sloppy reporting. Not you on the part of the article that you stole from. That is sloppy reporting.
Yep.
Okay.
Not really news here, but the remake of Charlie's Angels has been canceled.
Oh, did that start?
Exactly my point.
Ah.
The next season of Celebrity Apprentice has begun taping, so the identities of the cast are being revealed by New Yorkers buying slices of pizza for $1,000. That's just my little input. That's
right.
Not the truth. Here are a few of the notables. Lou Ferrigno.
Ding.
Debbie Gibson.
Ding.
George Takei.
Ding.
Dee Snider.
Ding.
Arsenio Hall.
Ding.
Penn Jillette.
Ding.
Clay Aiken.
Ding, ding.
Adam Carolla.
Ding.
And Tia Carrera.
I am so watching this. Every single one of these people is appealing to me on some level. You know what I mean? In terms of watchability. Because a lot of times it's like people like, you know, country singers.
There
and,
are a couple.
Oh,
there's Lamos. Like a Miss USA in there.
Like,
and
nobody
there's
cares
a
about
couple
that.
Reality shows
yeah,
in
nobody
there.
Cares about that.
Yeah.
But this is a great lineup. This is the probably
D-list
the best lineup. What?
Of D-list celebrities, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a great lineup of people to be on this show. Yeah. I mean, come on. You got George Takei. And Clay Aiken, they'll probably be hanging out a lot. I'm just saying.
That's really funny.
Dee Snider, I bet you Dee Snider is going to take it.
Yeah, he seems pretty smart.
He seems pretty smart, and he seems like a decent guy, so I bet you he's going to take it.
Lou Ferrigno will go right away. I bet Penn Jillette's pretty smart,
You think
too.
Lou Ferrigno's going to go right away?
He does seem the sharpest tool in the shed.
Well, that's just because he can't hear.
I think it's more than that.
Oh, really? Adam Carolla?
I spelled it wrong. It's Carolla.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart, too.
Yeah. He could do all right. But, you know, does he have the business acumen? See, I think Dee Snider might have some of that going on, too.
Right.
Penn Jillette? I mean, come on. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Arsenio
Hall? I mean, if Arsenio Hall's bringing the whole dog pound, I mean...
It'll be unstoppable.
Really?
Oh my God. Tia Carrera, you know, you got some eye candy.
She won't last long.
Did she look good these days or is she looking scary?
I think she got heavy.
Did she? Well, that doesn't mean she didn't look good. No. I just mean, what about her face? You know?
Does it still look
Tia Carrera-ish?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Debbie Gibson. What's up with that? I think there's going to be a lot of crying by Debbie Gibson.
I mean, she's going to bring a little of the electric youth, so there's that.
That's true. It's true.
She has any of it left. if you've missed any of American Horror Story, you can catch up on Halloween night when FX will be running a marathon of all the episodes that have aired before then.
Nice.
So there you go. If you're interested.
Nice.
Scary. It's spooky, though. Beware, it's spooky.
Okay.
Fox is developing a TV show based on the hit film Zombieland.
All righty.
Okay, I need to find this guy in. The iPads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Top Chef Just Desserts first season runner-up Morgan. Do you remember him?
Show me a picture.
I'll show you. You'll know as soon as I show you the picture. Was recently arrested for
Why do I think that he was a real jerk?
He was a complete jerk.
Okay.
Was recently arrested for child pornography. Perhaps now he will be the winner of some real Just Desserts.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah. Humor and justice mixed together. A deadly combination.
The second I show you, you'll remember what a jerk
he was. Yeah, I
want to
see his picture because I remember the name... And thinking he was a jerk.
Absolute jerk.
Now, let's see.
And they were saying not only child pornography, but like he was distributing it as well. And he's already been like,
what is that,
charged with it.
What does that mean? Like posting child pornography pictures? Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Oh, gosh.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, that's really disturbing.
Especially that look on his face in that picture.
Ooh.
Yeah, looking at looking at them kids.
Okay, you know what? That's
looking at them little kids.
That's nasty.
80s sex symbol Bo Derek will make an appearance on an episode of Chuck this season.
Excellent news. Chuck starts October 28th, just around the corner. I do. Ladies and gentlemen. Yep. I'm telling you. A week from today.
Yes.
1 week
October
from today.
28th, 1 week from today. Fans must have done some speaking out against the producers of Glee for not bringing back the character of Sam this season.
Which
because,
one was Sam?
The one that looks like Macaulay Culkin. You stopped watching before he came on.
Okay.
Because it has been announced that he will, in fact, return.
Okay.
NBC is bringing back a second season of Love in the Wild. The Survivor
Do you think they'll bring
style...
back Sam and then have him do a crossover onto American Horror Story where they'll kill him? Just to spite the fans.
Oh, because it's the same.
Yeah,
I get it now. You know, actually, he's going to, I think the next episode is when he debuts. Zachary Quinto will be on American Horror Story. There's a couple stars on it. Well, Jessica Lange, like I mentioned.
Right.
Dylan McDermott is the star. Connie Britton from
I
Friday
can never
Night
remember
Lights.
Who Dylan McDermott is.
It's
is
not
Dylan McDermott or
it's
Dermot,
not Dermot
Mulroney.
Mulroney.
I can never, I can't keep him straight.
The taller of the two. And finally, the reality game show Fear Factor will return to television this December.
Why?
Because it's like
I never
every
saw
other
the point
show.
Of that game.
No.
Show. No. I just, you know, I just, but you know me, I just don't care about those kind of things. The
it's
Survivors.
Coming it's coming back.
The Fear Factors. You know, I think Weird Al made fun of Fear Factor in a song like 10 years ago.
Yeah. That kind of led the way, I guess, for some of the reality shows we have now.
I'll recite the lyrics. Oh, in Fear Factor, I watched maybe a half hour. After that, felt like I needed a long shower. Poignant. Poignant and touching, Weird Al.
Out of his time he was then.
He always is.
That's it.
Speaking of which, he has a relatively new album out.
Yeah.
And one of the songs is a parody of Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
called Party in the CIA. Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. I saw the video for it. I didn't really care for the video because it was animated. I thought it would have been much funnier if they had done it live action, but the song itself is really funny.
I also want to say something funny that I heard in a podcast recently that I don't want to forget because I thought it was worth mentioning. Doug Benson on one of his Doug Loves Movie podcasts was talking about Real Steel, which...
the Rock'em Sock'em Robots
What is
movie?
It with both Real Steel and Footloose getting great reviews? And
really?
Doing great at the box office. Both of them, great reviews.
Are you kidding
me? High numbers on Rotten Tomatoes, both of them.
Real Steel looks like the worst movie ever made.
Yeah. Well, it was number one the last 2 weeks. And
what's its Rotten Tomatoes score?
It's high.
That is crazy to me.
I know, right?
It looks so terrible.
It is. I agree.
Oh mein Gott in Himmel. What is this world coming to?
And it was number one.
I knew it was number one, but then
it's
like
60.
That's not that great.
Well, it's above 50. I mean, you'd expect it to be 20, and Footloose is 71.
That is nuts.
But here's something Doug Benson said about Real Steel that's very funny. He went and saw it just to see what all the hubbub was about, and he hated it, of course.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't understand. In between the rounds when the robots are fighting each other, like they both sit on stools. Like, what do they need to rest for? The robots. And what's funny
sense.
Is they're supposed to be like 2,000-pound robots sitting on this stool. And then, like, after they get up, like, Hugh Jackman will just pick up the stool with one hand and, like, move it out of the way. Like, how could a 2,000-pound robot sit on, like, a wood stool and not destroy it? It's and why does it need to sit down?
It's got a titanium core. That's obvious. I mean, duh. Yeah, that is a little weird.
Well, that's funny, isn't it?
Is there nothing else going on other than the robots, like, taking a break?
Well, it's in between rounds, you know, like boxing.
Yeah, but why would they even have to do that?
Right,
why wouldn't they just go until somebody loses?
I don't know.
It's not like the coaches are doing anything other than going, yeah, do what I told you.
Right.
Just keep doing that until you win or lose or whatever.
And even that's ridiculous.
Robot.
But anyway, that's funny stuff right there.
That is funny stuff right there. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen, Antonio?
You know, I saw something today just so I had something to talk about. I went on to the old Vudu on my PS3, and there was a documentary called The People vs. George Lucas.
Now, I'm confused about this. I was under the impression that was not coming out until next Friday as well.
You know, Vudu releases a lot of things, a lot of movies, too, that like haven't come out in the theaters yet. I mean, not big movies.
Really?
But with big stars. There's some Colin Farrell, Keira Knightley movie that they're showing right now. It doesn't come out in the theater for another 2 weeks.
That's so weird. Because right before you emailed me about that, I had seen a banner ad online for it. And I clicked through to it, and it said available on DVD October 28th.
Yeah, Vudu does that. They have a lot of, like, that's why
that's
I love the
so
Vudu.
Bizarre.
I love the Vudu.
Now, the Vudu, is that on a lot of the Blu-ray players and stuff?
I don't know. I know it's on the PS3. It's not on the Xbox 360. It's just on the PS3.
I wonder if I have the Vudu. I mean, I got
the
Mojo.
It's actually...
I just don't know if I have the Vudu.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You know it is owned by Walmart. Did you know that?
Vudu?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
And I have to say, as far as like streaming in high def, it is the most reliable of any service I've ever used.
Interesting.
It never hiccups.
Wake up.
Unlike me you at the moment. So yeah, The People versus George Lucas is a documentary. Obviously, people...
complaining about
Lucas.
How he messed up their world.
Right. And it's not just about Star Wars. They talk about Indiana Jones near the end of the film.
Thankfully.
And it was entertaining.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's basically
for me,
just
I mean, you know, you and I get into a lot of the nerd speak and, you know, the geek culture and all
right.
that. But, I mean, the people in this film just take it so seriously. Yeah. That it, like, it becomes a little, like... nauseating at times.
I could see that.
But a lot of it's enjoyable. They show a lot of like fan films. They show a large
chunk
well,
of,
a few
Comic-Con
a few
or something.
Chunks of the Star Wars Christmas special. Remember the one where they go to Chewbacca's?
You know, I never saw that.
It's worth watching just to see those clips.
Really?
Because there's one part where like... Because
that was like that year, right? That was
right.
Not like 77 or 78
right.
And
or I didn't even know that Harrison Ford was on it. So the clip they show with him, it's so ridiculous. But they go back to Dashiik, you know, where Chewie's family is.
Kashyyyk,
right.
Yeah.
Where Chewie's family is. And
Chewbacca? Give it up.
So the other Wookiees that they have on it, they look so terrible. And then there's one part where all of a sudden, like, Diane Carroll comes on and sings a Christmas song. It's so bad. It's so bad.
And did they have all the other Wookiees named, like, you know, Chewtoco, Chewminga, Chewblibla? They all choose something
names,
or
but,
something.
But
like
the
that.
Costumes are absolutely terrible.
Was
I mean, because is Chewbacca.
Right.
But you could tell the budget for this was, you know, a lot less.
And then it was like seriously a cutout from like a shag carpet next to it.
Absolutely. But I mean, there's some really interesting stuff in there, but it just, after a while, you're just bogged down by all the like the geeks up in arms.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, what's cool is like they show actual like quotes and speeches from like George Lucas. Remember when Ted Turner started colorizing all the black and white films, and George Lucas was the number one proponent against that, saying you can't change, you know, classic films, blah blah blah. And then
and look at what he's done.
Yeah.
Now, have you watched the Blu-rays yet? All of them?
No, I watched about 45 minutes because I wanted to see if my Blu-ray did what yours did
for
Empire. So I started to watch the first 45
and
minutes.
Did it?
No, it didn't do it. It was fine.
Okay, I'll have to check mine out.
And I got sucked into it. I didn't have time to sit and watch it.
But. Yeah, it's very rare that if I start watching a Star Wars film that I'll stop watching it. You know what I mean? Because they're just so good. But yeah, I wonder how bad the...
No!
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
There's a whole like 10-minute chunk
criminal.
Of this documentary
criminal.
About like you know how they changed it where before Han Solo shot Greedo and here the
and now they change it
where Greedo shot first and from you know here he's a bounty hunter but from 2 feet away he can't shoot Han Solo
and
hit him
and so
there's like 10 minutes you know just they spend a little too long on certain things but what's really funny are some of the interviews they show of fans coming out of Phantom Menace. Like the interview right before they go in, they're like, oh, it's going to be the greatest. And then like they ask the people in line, like, well, what if it's not good? They're like, there's no way it's not going to be good. So then they interview people coming out of the movie.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, it was like they didn't want to admit that it was bad.
Right.
And so then they're saying in interviews, they're just like, so I had to go back and see it like 2, 3, 4 times because I thought maybe it would grow on me. And like it just was getting worse each time I saw it.
Yeah.
So
they filmed all that back then?
They were clips from like the news.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could see how that would be too geeky, though. I still want to know how they shot King of Kong. Like, how did they shoot?
Did you know that the director of King of Kong, and this is the reason why Stephen Wiebe is in Four Christmases, is also the director of Four Christmases and the director of Horrible Bosses.
Was Steve Wiebe in that?
Possibly.
Which, you didn't see it?
By the way,
Didn't you see it?
Yeah, but I don't know what Stephen Wiebe looks like if I'm just watching a movie. And
Oh. That'd be interesting if he was in that, too.
I will tell you.
Which,
by the way, came out on DVD. I should have brought Telonio.
Horrible Bosses came out on DVD?
Yeah.
Wasn't it just in the theaters like 2 months ago?
A few months ago.
Yeah, that was fast. Are you looking up Horrible Bosses or Steve Wiebe?
Stephen Wiebe? Okay. Is it PH or?
I think V, but if you just look up W-I-E-B-E, I'm sure you'll find it. Yeah, I still want to know how they did that, because it seems very fishy to me that they would have had two cameras in two places across the country from each other at exactly the same time just to happen to catch live reactions of phone calls and things like that. You know what I
right.
mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It seems fishy. Either like it was all done in reenactments or like the whole thing was made up.
How come I'm not finding it? Is it W-I-E-B?
I said W-I-E-B-E.
Oh, I spelled it. Yeah, he is in Horrible Bosses.
That, it's really funny.
Interesting.
Huh. Were they like buddies or something? Like Apparently. Best friends? Like what's
Which
going on?
Makes you wonder even more if they're
right.
such good friends.
Exactly.
Exactly.
See, it just goes to prove what I always say. There's no such thing as a documentary.
But
they don't really
entertaining
exist.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely. Is that the only thing you've seen?
Yeah, and I watched it just today just so I'd have something to talk about.
Okay.
I have seen nothing in my classic film project.
Now, do you have a list of movies that are in that, or you just like pick
I
one
I do have
at
a list,
time?
But I will look, you know, I'll look and see if there's something on Netflix or something. I usually get them from Netflix.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Well, we saw The Thing, we being my lovely and talented wife,
Now,
Amy.
Would this be the remake or the John Carpenter original?
The
Which is an even original
remake
as well.
Right. Which was also based on
a book. Bloody blue, bloody blue.
So there's a book written in 1938.
Ah.
The first movie was made in 51.
Ah.
John Carpenter made his movie in 82, I believe. 82 or 83. And this movie is a prequel to John Carpenter's movie. And I did not realize that until after I had seen it. And that made it even better. I will say this is one of the best horror sci-fi movies I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Even though you know the story, it was so well done and it was so good and so creepy. And there was not a cheesy moment in the entire film. It was so well
that
done.
That goes against every review I read of it.
What?
It's got terrible reviews.
Really?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot. And I thought as a prequel to the John Carpenter movie, it was really cool. Because I've only seen the John Carpenter one a couple times. And so I didn't remember that at the beginning of the John Carpenter movie, it starts out with a Norwegian helicopter chasing a dog through the Arctic and shooting at it. And then the dog runs into the camp, you know, the base where the American science team is or whatever. And so the pilot, like, you know, lands the helicopter and the guy with the gun gets out and starts shooting at the dog, even though he's standing right next to all the people, shoots one of the people. And then one of the people in the base shoots him and kills him. And he's like muttering something about the dog. Well, those first scenes were with the helicopter chasing the dog and shooting after it were at the end of this new movie. And in fact, they used the same music, the dun dun, you know, from the John Carpenter movie at the end of this film to kind of just like break it right off and lead into that movie. But no, I thought this was really, really cool.
That's interesting.
The creature effects were fantastic, really excellent. And the concept behind the alien and stuff. Were really neat. And I thought it was really well done. I wonder why people didn't like it.
I know. I got a 34% on.
Man, I don't know. There were some very cool, very disturbing stuff in the movie. But it wasn't like
They all say that it's not as good as the John Carpenter one.
Huh. Well, maybe I'll have to go back and watch that again. Because I thought this was really great. And Amy liked it too. She thought it was the best of the two of them too. But anyway.
I can't even remember the John Carpenter one.
I barely remember it. But, I mean, I like the Kurt Russell, you know. I'd have to go see it again. You know, John Carpenter's movies are always somewhat marred by John Carpenter's music, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he does his own music composition, right, and it always sounds exactly the same, pretty much. But
three piano keys.
Yeah, basically. Basically. Although, you know, you have to give him props. The Halloween music was, yeah, was classic. Totally classic. But yeah, the rest of it, like this and They Live, which, right, again, come on. Roddy Piper, come on. The worst scene in a movie ever, come on. Come on. Put the sunglasses on. No way, man, I ain't putting them on. Seriously? A 15-minute fight? Just put the sunglasses on. God. So ridiculous. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I would recommend it, so I don't think you should listen to the naysayers on the Rotten Stinking Tomatoes. You got some miscellaneous
I do. Right. Let's see what you think about this. It looks as if Guy Ritchie is very close to signing a deal to remake one of Lou's all-time favorites, Cannonball Run.
Guy Ritchie? Whoa,
which
whoa.
Which is fine until you hear that Ben Stiller,
whoa,
is already leading in talks,
no,
to star.
No, come on. Yes. Ben Stiller?
Hate Ben Stiller.
That would be a terrible affront to the original film, which I still maintain way ahead of its time comedically.
Okay.
I'm serious. If you go back and watch that movie.
I'm not going to.
I'm just saying, way ahead of its time. No, you need somebody like, you know who could pull that off is somebody like a Ryan Reynolds. You know what I mean? Somebody can be funny but also charming. Ben Stiller is not charming.
No, he's
Ben
not.
Stiller is annoying.
He's annoying.
You don't want
and
him.
What scares me is if you put Ben Stiller in a movie, you're going to end up putting Owen Wilson in a movie, and then for sure I'm out.
Yeah. Wow, that's really disappointing. And Guy Ritchie, I just don't really see anything in his past.
What? Sherlock Holmes.
Make me believe that he could do Cannonball Run.
Oh, I don't know. I disagree.
It's a totally different type of comedy.
Yeah, but no, I disagree.
I don't know.
I disagree.
I don't know.
Rumor has it Steven Spielberg.
Wait, before you go on with this, what do you think of the new Sherlock Holmes trailer? What do you think? Do you think it looks all right, or do you think
I don't remember enough. I know I saw it, but yeah, nothing stuck with me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It like scares me a little bit. Because I really enjoyed the first one. That was pretty good.
First one was good.
But anyway.
Rumor has it Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay have signed on to make Transformers 4 and 5, which is rumored to star Jason Statham.
Wow. No more Shia LaBeouf. He's out.
Apparently.
Got to do too many Raiders of the Lost Ark sequels.
Yeah, he's all busy.
Wow.
Apparently.
Jason Statham. So you're not even going to move Josh Duhamel up into the leading role? You're just going to bring in an outsider from another country?
Can't believe he was skipped over like that.
What?
Can't believe he was skipped over like that. Skipped over for promotion.
What's up with that?
River Phoenix's final film, Dark Blood, will finally see a release 18 years after the actor's death.
I never even heard of this.
Me neither. In the film, Phoenix plays a man living on a nuclear testing site waiting for the end of the world.
Wow. No wonder his blood was dark, I guess. I don't know.
Some advanced screenings of Spielberg's CG epic Tintin are resulting in some pretty rave reviews, with some reviewers even saying the film harkens back to classic Spielberg adventure films like Raiders and Jurassic Park. I know you hated Jurassic Park, but they're saying...
I didn't hate Jurassic Park. I just didn't think it had really any story. I mean,
but they're saying like this is that kind of like fun action film like those were.
Yeah, but you know, if this said Raiders and Back to the Future, although I know that wasn't a Spielberg movie in that sense, you know, he didn't direct it. But then, you know, I might pay a little bit more attention. But I just don't know that I could connect on that level with an animated film.
Why?
I don't know.
That's very close-minded.
It's not close-minded.
I think it is.
It's not close-minded at all.
Real Steel director Sean Levy will make a Pinocchio prequel titled The Three Misfortunes of Geppetto.
Hmm.
Doesn't it also sound like it'd be a porn?
It does.
I remember that there was...
Is the subtitle, it's not just his nose that grows?
There is a porn version of Pinocchio where that's the tagline, yeah.
Not surprisingly.
An anonymous actress is suing IMDb for posting her age on their site.
Well, how do you sue somebody anonymously? When you file the suit, it's got to be in your name.
I know, but the article did not... But they were trying to figure out who it was, but they weren't able to come.
Wait a minute. Isn't IMDb like self-serve? Don't you basically fill out your own info?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's how IMDb works. Everyone who I know who's on IMDb has put their own info on there. So that seems to not really be a very valid lawsuit.
Well, yeah, if she doesn't want her age on there, but then yet they have it posted, then it completely...
But how could she sue them if they didn't post it? If somebody else posted it, how could she sue them?
But if it wasn't her that posted it,
her argument is, well, I didn't post it. I should be able to decide whether my birthday's on there or not. I don't agree with it. I mean, it's stupid. Just be honest about your age. But
what I'm saying is, let's say somebody else posted it, some fan or something like that. Okay. How can she sue them? They didn't post it.
Well, because they're the one displaying it.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Like if you...
No, if somebody goes onto a message board and posts something defamatory, you can't sue the message board. They're not the person who posted it. It's the person who posted it that is responsible, not the hosting agency.
I mean, yeah, but IMDb isn't just like a hosting agency.
But I don't think they post anything. I think it's all self-serve. I think it started out with them posting stuff.
But they could easily take it off.
So could she. Why doesn't she just go take it off?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It seems dumb to me. Seems like a waste of time lost.
Absolutely. I just thought it was a little tidbit.
That is funny. Think it's Jessica Lange?
No, it said it was someone in their 40s. So that's definitely not Jessica Lange.
No.
And finally, we previously reported about a Short Circuit remake. And I only posted this because we had had a discussion about this.
Yeah.
Well, it appears that Fisher Stevens has been approached to reprise his role as Dr. Ben
Jabatuya.
and it was saying in the article, but obviously this time it would be a lot less racist.
Did it really say that?
It in the article.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I really think that's a good idea, though. You can't have a Short Circuit movie without him.
And they just said he's been approached. They didn't say that he had agreed to it.
Approached by his mom. Would you like to be in that movie? Yeah, Mom. Could you please stop talking like that? All right, so that's it for movies?
That is for movies.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh moosh.
And we got a lot of moosh moosh, so I hope you brought your galooshes. I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Right, I think you need to start this.
Steve Jobs, dead at 50-something.
56, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that's it.
So, what do you think? What was your reaction when you found out? Well, not surprised, probably.
No. Sad, of course.
Yeah, sad. What are you sad about?
That someone died so early in their life.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's sad.
No, but I mean, you know, do you think this will affect Apple stuff greatly?
Probably.
Yeah. Think it's going to start to go downhill, or do you think it'll just be less...
less groundbreaking,
Groundbreaking, yeah. You think so? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, really, I mean, I'm sure there's a huge team behind him. I mean, how much of it was really his, you know...
Yeah. Well,
innovation.
My gut feeling on that is that there wasn't... It wasn't so much that he was doing all the groundbreaking... So much as that he was the primary naysayer. So when people would come up with ideas or ways of doing things, he was the person going, no, I don't like that. Do it different. Do it like this.
Right. So you think a lot of crap's going to come out of there now?
Well, I don't know if a lot of crap's going to come out. I just don't know if it's going to be as, you know, obviously as
refined,
single-minded in terms of their approach to, you know, their product development.
Right.
Because if he was the person doing that and now he's out of the picture, then obviously something's going to be a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, so much has been said and written about him and stuff. And of course, there have been all these gushy love letters about how he changed the world and everything. But, you know, also by many accounts, the guy was a total jerk face from the jerk store. And one of the most annoying things is you probably saw in Gizmodo today, today or yesterday or whatever, there was this article about how in the biography of him that's coming out, he talked about how he was going to go thermonuclear on Google and he'd spend every last penny of Apple's $40 billion in cash to bring them down for stealing the iPhone, you know, operating system and stuff like that. I mean, that's the stuff that gets me the most worked up about Apple and their fanboys because they stole all of their ideas from other people too.
Right.
And Steve
and
Jobs,
their employees.
And Steve and their employees and then said, oh, you know, that's not right. We shouldn't do that anymore.
Right.
After they stole Google's employees.
Right.
And... You know, Steve Jobs has been quoted in the past as saying, you know, we've been very successful at stealing other people's ideas and making them into cool things. It's like, well, then how can you complain about anything? Not to mention the fact that they didn't invent most of the stuff that people think they invented. They didn't invent the GUI, the mouse, the folder, you know, hierarchy. They didn't invent touchscreens. They didn't invent icon-based interfaces. They didn't invent any of that stuff. It's just that they, you know, put things together in a way and market it in such a way that makes people believe they invented it because they don't deny it, you know, and they enforce those myths. But anyway, it will be interesting.
There you go.
See
there's you. Lou's tribute yeah, to the man.
Strangely in the shape of a middle finger. Anyway, of course, the day before Steve Jobs died, the iPhone 4S was announced with two of its biggest new features being Siri, which is the voice command stuff that Google Android has had for a long time, and the Find My Friends. Now, did you hear about this thing with Find My Friends? Supposedly some guy in New York installed Find My Friends on his wife's phone, and he thought she had been cheating on him with a guy uptown. And so he texted her, and she said she was in Midtown, and he looked on the Find My Friends thing and saw that she was in Uptown, and so now they are getting divorced. So congratulations on that product development. Android 4, a.k.a. Ice Cream Sandwich, has been revealed with some nifty new tidbits, including Face Unlock, which seems like a no-brainer. Seems like all these phones should have had that.
Right.
So, you know, you program it with your face, and then nobody else can unlock your phone unless they have a mask of you. Or they chop off your head, or I guess they have a picture of you. Can you fool it with a picture?
I don't know.
I just take a picture of you, and then you give me your phone, and I hold up my phone, and it goes, okay, I will unlock now. I mean, I don't know if it uses the robot voice, but whatever. okay, and what has to be seriously one of the coolest things I've ever seen on video, researchers from Tel Aviv University have a video of their quantum levitation project, and trust me when I say this will blow your mind. It is so insanely cool. It's 5 minutes long, so I don't know if you can watch it right now, but I'm telling you, it is like future technology from space movies. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. Because, you know, like with things like a maglev train, it only works because it's on the rails and they're keeping it in place. Uh-huh. This doesn't have any of that requirement. This locks stuff in place at a quantum level. So he's got this thing, and he if you see the video, just watch the beginning of it, and then you can watch the rest of it later. Can you make that full screen? Uh-huh. so he locks it in place, and it just stays there because it's actually locked at a quantum level and not, look at that. Doesn't matter where he puts it, it just stays there. It's just,
cool.
It's actually defying gravity. I mean, that is the coolest thing ever.
And how is it doing it?
Through some kind of process that they invented. The silver things are magnets, and then that disc is coated with something. And as you can see in this part of the video, he's spinning it around, and it doesn't fall off because it's locked in place to the magnetic field generated by the magnet. And watch, he'll show you. He's going to put it like off center in a second, and it'll still spin in relation to where the center of the magnet is versus the center of the object. So I mean, isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Now, skip ahead a little bit in the video because he puts it on this track and just sends it sailing around, and it doesn't fall off even though it's not physically connected to anything. And see, he puts it at an angle and it'll still spin around.
It's
and at the
cool.
end of the video, he flips the table upside down and puts the thing underneath the table, and it sits there hanging without touching the table, spinning around on the track. It is so cool. Watch, he's going to flip it over now. And now he just puts it underneath and sends it spinning around. I mean, that's amazing. It's like magic.
What's with like the dry ice on it?
I don't know. It has something to do with the superconductivity. Superconductivity supposedly happens only at very cold temperatures. So it has something to do with that, I'm sure. But I mean, as like a first demonstration of a technology, that's like insanely
it's
impressive.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll post a link to that video because you got to see it. It's amazing. The Maserati Kubang we reported on previously will not, in fact, be called the Kubang, thank goodness. Looks like it'll be called the Cinquaporte, which nicely complements the Quattroporte, even if it's a bit boring. RIM has partnered with Porsche Design to create a new smartphone that'll be unveiled in Dubai in about a week. Nobody's sure about any details of the product, including what software it'll be running, but it definitely looks cooler than previous BlackBerries. And speaking of a new Cannonball Run...
How did you know I was speaking of a new Cannonball Run?
Because I read that. There was a rumor floating around that GM would skip the traditional product placement scenario and actually bankroll the entire film directly. Thank goodness GM has denied that rumor, which is good because one of the cool things about Cannonball Run was that there were a bunch of different cars of all different types and by all different companies. And if you had a whole movie full of GM cars, nobody would ever want to see that.
Right. Also, if you put Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson in a movie.
no one will
I won't want to see
it.
That. No, yeah. I can say no one.
Yeah.
There are idiots that'll go see
you
that.
You definitely won't.
I definitely won't go see that.
Right. Raytheon Sarcos has modified a Ditch Witch. Do you know what a Ditch Witch is?
Nope.
It's one of those little things.
I don't know what a Raytheon Sarcos is either.
That's the name of a company. A Ditch Witch is one of those little tractor things that people use to like dig ditches to lay down phone cable and cable TV cables and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they modified a Ditch Witch with slave arms that mimic all movements of the operator's arms and even provide force feedback. We'll post a video to that too because it's really cool. But remember in Aliens how she was in that thing where she would move her arms and the arms on the thing would move? This is like that, but even cooler because they're all bendy and can go down and grab stuff and really heavy stuff that you'd never be able to pick up as a person.
Really that cool.
It's pretty cool. Well, this is bad news. There's a bug in the iPad's smart cover unlocking feature that'll let anybody access a locked iPad too. If you disable smart cover unlocking, it'll prevent that from happening until Apple fixes the bug. So I would definitely suggest you do that if you're worried about what's on your iPad.
I have Angry Birds.
You don't think anyone's going to come in and mess up your high score? In 1883, an astronomer in Mexico named Jose Bonilla spotted hundreds of fuzzy objects passing between the Earth and the Sun. Now, analysis, taking into consideration current methods and techniques, estimates that it was a massive comet that broke up into many pieces and passed as close as 438 miles from Earth. Considering, too, that it may have had a mass of as much as 9 trillion tons, had its course been slightly different, it's very likely that none of us would be here right now. You know, one piece of a comet or a meteor or something hit in the Siberian tundra in 1908 and caused an explosion so big that it devastated 80 million trees. That was just one teeny tiny little piece. This would have been like 100 times that big. So we'd all be
dead. Just a lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda.
On the part of the comet.
Right.
Which can't think, so that's neither here nor there.
Right.
DeLorean has resurfaced. Did anyone know that? DeLorean has resurfaced.
Ah.
And is promising an all-electric DeLorean by 2013, partnering with Epic EV to create the
drivetrain.
Is it
going to look the same?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it will feature expected additions like an iPhone dock and stuff like that, but visually will be pretty close to the original. That's kind of cool. Have you ever actually seen one on the road?
Not in years.
They're
back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see them on the road because they're so low and so wide that they just look bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's going to be electric ones and they'll probably be very expensive. So I won't be buying one. Motorola's new Droid Razr is the world's thinnest smartphone with a laser cut woven Kevlar fiber body. The new Android phone also includes Verizon's 4G LTE, so it's not only thin, but it's fast too. Remember that Lytro camera that I reported on?
No.
Where you could take a picture and then focus the picture later because it takes in all the light?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're going to be available early next year, and they're going to start at around $400.
It's very cheap.
It's not too bad. Now, I have a special invitation from the company to purchase one or several of these cameras. So if we have any photographer friends out there who want to get a jump start
on this.
What if
they're not photographers but they want one?
They can still contact me. And I'll see if I can hook them
what
up.
What if they are not photographers and they do not want one?
Then they should not contact me about that.
What
but are welcome to contact me about something else.
What if they are photographers and they want one, but
aren't listening?
Exactly.
Then right now they're probably not begging for those 2 minutes back, is what I'm guessing.
Ah.
Sprint has just put a data cap on mobile hotspot users. Boo. That sucks. Because like last month they put a cap on...
Is that who you use, Sprint?
No.
Oh.
I'm Verizon. But I'm just saying, it's bad for those users. The founders of Skype seem to be behind a new video streaming service called Vidio, V-D-I-O, that may offer competition to Netflix. It'll be launching in the UK first, and there really aren't any details yet, but stay tuned.
It's the same people as radio, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I think video works a little bit better because when you go between the V and the D with no vowels,
right.
It just goes vid.
Vid, right.
Whereas the R and the D is like rid.
Right.
And there's no such thing as radio.
Yeah.
Really.
It's more like RDO.
It is more like RDO.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't really work.
It's not right.
I think video is better. They should probably just kill RDO
altogether.
Finally, if your fondest memories from childhood have to do with riding the Green Machine, now you can get an adult-sized one with a Harley engine from Hammacher Schlemmer for just $75,000. The gas tank is big enough to take you to 400 miles before a fill-up, and of course, you steer it with a couple of sticks. That seems like a massive, huge, fast, and furious accident waiting to happen.
Right.
Because it's hard enough to steer something that you're pedaling with two sticks. But imagine something that can go 100 and some miles an hour. Because all you got to do is twitch those a little bit too fast, and you're like in a
this
ditch.
It's just one of those hamburger schlemmer things that we always...
Did you call them hamburger schlemmer?
Hamburger.
I think you call them hamburger schlemmer.
Hamburger schlemmer things that you hear about, but you'll never see.
Yeah. Like, I probably will never see one of these on the on the road. I hope.
No.
I hope I never see one on the road.
You will, but it'll be on the side of the road, and someone will be
dead. And the guy will be dead. Right. Yeah, exactly. And there'll be an ambulance nearby. You know, that's it for the Moosh Moosh, which brings us to the point in the program, as always.
Very high point in the program right
here. Where we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Please, Tony. Please, would you please give us your worst?
My worst would have to be... I know what it has to be. I had ordered a couple of my favorite Italian films, which have just become available on Blu-ray.
Such as Johnny Stecchino.
Pardon me?
Johnny Stecchino. Is that one of your favorite Italian films?
Never even heard of that.
That is a hilarious movie.
There is such a movie?
Yeah.
Johnny Stecchino.
Yeah, with the guy, I can never remember his name, Roberto Benigni. Okay. He's the star of it. I don't know if
actually, one of my movies is, well, it's his big movie. Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful. Yeah.
Which I love. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, great
Fantastic movie.
And Cinema Paradiso. Did you ever see that?
See, I have not.
Excellent movie.
I heard
you
it was
should
great.
Really see that. I will loan it to you.
You know, I believe that
that's
Life
beautiful
is Beautiful
movie.
Is one of the best examples of how to use comedy in a extremely dramatic, you know, situation and do it really well and really tastefully.
Right.
Because it's very funny in parts, and it's so
and
devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah. It's just such a wonderfully made movie.
Both movies are wonderful, and they both came out on Blu-ray, and I was excited, so I ordered them from Amazon, had it delivered to my house, and on the day that it was to arrive, I went down to the lobby to go to lunch, and I noticed that my package had arrived.
Woohoo!
But I was on my way out to just pick up some lunch. I'm like, oh, I'll pick that package back up when I come back. And I came back and someone had stolen my package.
I saw this coming a mile away.
And then after, you know, our condo board has a message board.
Okay.
So I posted on the message board that my package had been stolen. And then came a flood of people saying that they have also had packages stolen. And including one couple that had just gotten married a few months ago and half of their wedding gifts were stolen.
That's horrible. Yeah. Now, Is the front door of your condo building locked or open?
It is locked.
So it's somebody in happened, the building or somebody wandering in?
We think it's someone who lives in the building. Now, the problem is not everyone who lives in that condo building are condo owners. Some condo owners rent out to riffraff.
Yeah, riffraff.
Guessing. But through a lot of like the investigation and stuff, I mean, internal investigation.
Yeah. IA was brought in.
It's happening all the time.
Yeah.
So I had to reorder.
Here's a crazy idea. How about you stick a camera in the lobby?
That's what we've been fighting for, but right now we can't do that without our managing company having something to do with it, but they are not responding to any of our requests.
Gee, I wonder who stole the packages.
So as of November 1st, they are no longer our managing company. Good. So first we have to find a managing company, and then they're going to contract the cameras, blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, someone has my DVDs.
And a bunch of wedding gifts.
So I had to order the DVDs all over again, pay for them all over again, and I had them delivered here to your office.
Yeah. Well, if you happen to hear somebody listening to some Italian films and you go into their unit and they've got a bunch of nice new china, I think you'll have your perpetrator.
Well, someone brought up a really good point. They're like, I bet someone is selling this stuff on eBay. So I keep checking eBay to see if someone's selling those Blu-rays from Chicago, but I haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
I check it like every other day.
You can tell them to just send you an email when it shows up.
Yeah, but even if it shows up, I work during the day now. So if I'm at
work. It doesn't
matter.
You'll still get the email. You'll get an email every single day that tells you if that item has been listed.
Oh, but can I say from Chicago?
I don't know.
Because there's a ton of them listed.
Oh,
but I want to find if it's from Chicago and then look at the rest of their items that they're selling.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant like when it's delivered from Amazon.
No.
No. But the worst part of this story is it would be one thing if like it was just stolen and then I never knew any better that it was stolen. But I actually had the package in my hand and I'm like, I'll just leave this here. I'm just running out for lunch. I'll be right back. And then I come back and it's gone. I actually had the package in my hand.
Now, yeah.
Not knowing that the theft was so rampant in our building, I would have taken it with me.
Right. Or just put it upstairs before
or
you
put
left
it upstairs and come back down, yeah.
That's so crappy.
Well, what's crappy is I had to pay for them again.
You know, you really shouldn't have to because you should have just
told... Yeah, but it's not Amazon's fault or...
Well, they didn't require a signature.
Or... That's true.
That's what I mean.
It also wasn't
UPS's fault. And it was not delivered to you.
Actually, it was U.S. Postal Service that delivered it, so...
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. That's my worst.
Whatever.
It's my worst.
That's
but I got
worst.
Him now.
That's
I mean, it cost me twice as much, but...
At least you got him.
Worth it.
Telling you, Johnny Stecchino. You got to pick up Johnny Stecchino. It's
Johnny
hilarious.
Stecchino.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
You know what looks terrible with Roberto Benigni? Did you ever see his version of Pinocchio?
No. You mean where it's not just his nose that grows?
You know, he also did a version of, before Steve Martin read it, he's in a Pink Panther movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That was just released over there?
I believe he plays Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, okay.
No, it's in English.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Go ahead,
Johnny Stecchino is about just this dopey guy who, you know, just the every average day guy mm-hmm. who meets this woman and she asks him to come and visit her out in the country or whatever. And so he does. And, you know, he thinks that she's asking him to go out there and visit her because they were flirting and she likes him and stuff. But really it's because her husband is a big mob boss and he looks exactly like him. So she wants him to stand in for him. And so he doesn't realize, because he's kind of a dope. He doesn't, that's terrible. So he doesn't realize that all this is going on. So he's like saying all these inappropriate things to, you know, the people in the town in Sicily or wherever it is that he, you know, that she takes him. And it's just very funny because his character is like a total goof. And
what's funny is that his wife in Life is Beautiful is the woman in Johnny Stecchino.
I think that's his real wife.
Oh, really?
I think so. Can you look it up? I'm pretty sure that's his real-life wife.
How do I look that up? I guess I just could look
at her. You would click on her name
trivia.
And go to bio, and usually they'll tell you stuff like that. But I'm pretty...
It just says, met Roberto Benigni on the set of You Disturb Me.
Oh. I was fairly certain they were husband and wife, but I don't know.
Because they're
be...
in like, just about every movie that she's
It doesn't
done,
say on his
in.
Bio who he's married to? Doesn't say spouse?
Not on the app.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard to find all the info on that app.
Oh,
no.
He met his wife, Nicola. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's very pretty. Classic Italian beauty.
I mean, for him.
Wow, that's rude. That's rude.
Well, he's not exactly like, you know, Roman features.
Okay.
Son of the Pink Panther. That's the one he's in. Oh, got a 3.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh, that's not good for the man. My worst entertainment moment of the week has to do with the fact that I cannot, for whatever reason, get my DVR in our basement where we do a lot of TV watching to record stuff with any kind of reliability. I've made sure that everything is prioritized properly, and yet it has never once recorded Terra Nova. It records The Ringer every time. It's only recorded every other episode of Pan Am.
How come you haven't talked about Terra Nova?
Because I've only gotten to see two episodes.
Oh.
So I'm totally behind. But you know what? It actually got better, too. I did see an episode.
There was no other direction it could have gone.
Well, no, I did see an episode where this little girl was wandering around outside of the camp. So they sent people out to get her, and she had escaped from the Sixers, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so she said she escaped because, you know, they were mean to her and blah, 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 all this. And then later you find out that she's actually a spy for Mira or whatever her name is, and she sent her in there to get this box out of the house that used to be her house before she left to go start the Sixers, right? But then the little girl says, well, I had to do it because she's got my brother, and she said she was going to hurt him if I didn't get it. But she didn't really want to do it. She just, because, you know, they had all been nice to her, and then
right.
Mira showed up as, like, you know, this, like, power play to get the girl back, but it was really all staging.
It's all about the power plays.
It was all about the power play. So then the dad, you know, who's there illegally,
right?
He goes to find the brother because he wants to rescue the brother and or at least make sure that the girl was telling the truth this time. So Mira's people capture him and, you know, he thinks they're going to kill her or whatever. She's like, I'm not going to kill you. She's like, I just want you to know that, you know, the reason that we're here is because the guy who's the head of Terra Nova, you know, pissed off the wrong people back in the future and they want him taken down. He's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, we were sent here on purpose to remove him from power. And he's like, why? And, you know, what are they afraid of? People starting over? She's like, you know, Terra Nova has never been and never will be about people starting over. And she's like, I forget what she says to him, but she's like, you're free to go, and just lets him go. And so it's kind of interesting now, because I have a feeling that at some point in the future of the show,
shift of power.
And I'm pretty sure that family is either going to become like double agents, or they're going to go with the Sixers and find out. But, you know, it's all going to have to, how good this all ends up being is all going to be based on what that secret is.
Right.
Because if it's a stupid secret, like, you know, he liked the same girl. It's like, I don't care about that. But it better be something good and really sinister. Right.
And as long as it doesn't connect to Avatar.
Yeah, that would be, that would just be a little too convenient.
I would not like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. So that's my worst entertainment moment of the week. I can't get my DVR to record anything I want to watch.
It's not good.
Very annoying.
It's very annoying.
And one of my other DVRs, and you said you'd had this problem before, is saying that the DVR manager service doesn't work with it.
Yeah, I had to return DVR.
So just take
that.
It back?
Yep.
Okay.
They'll give you a new one right on the spot.
Well, the last time I tried that, they said, oh, we don't have those. I'm like, well, how do I get one? They're like, well, we can put in a request to get them. I'm like, is there any way I can guarantee?
It may not be the specific one that you want, but it'll be one
that works.
That's
the one I want. Well, but I want that one. Ugh. Anyway. What's your best entertainment moment of the week? Let's end on a happy note.
It is the best show on television.
Fringe?
The season premiere of Walking Dead.
Absolutely. Oh, right.
Very tense hour and a half. That was such a tense episode.
It was very tense.
I mean, without giving away what made it so tense,
right.
It was tense.
A lot of stuff.
And
the ending was unexpected. The ending was to die for.
You're ridiculous.
No, it was a very good episode and a very good ending. I actually kind of like Norman Reedus' character now.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Whereas, you know, he was just...
Wow, they're all going to have to band together if they want to survive.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. Yeah. I did think the extended radio walkie-talkie call was a little bit hokey. Didn't you think that?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm willing to forgive that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. My best entertainment moment of the week was The Thing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thought it was so... The creature effects were just so cool. What was cool about this is... And I'm not giving anything away because this is right at the beginning of the movie. In John Carpenter's, even though it's, you know, implied where it came from, you never really see it. Whereas this, they find the spaceship and they find the creature that came out of the spaceship buried in the ice. So you actually see the creature. Now, I don't know if the creature was actually what it really looked like,
right,
or if it took that form or what. But then what happens when it attacks the people and some of the things that you see are just so creepy and so disturbing and really, really cool. I'm really surprised that it's getting bad reviews. We both loved it. Thought it was great. And seriously, like, because usually horror movies are pretty full of cheese. There was almost no cheese in this movie.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone ate cheese.
That's not what the reviews say.
Did they say it was cheesy?
Yeah.
God, I'm just really surprised. I wonder what people
thought. You're just so immersed with cheese that, like, something that's mildly cheesy.
You know, I do really love cheese.
There you go.
And cheese is all around me.
And, you know, to be honest, I mean, I have to give you credit because it's not easy being cheesy.
No, it's not. It's not. You know, I work very hard at this.
I think it's on that we need to end.
Very hard. Yeah, so don't forget you can email us at...
Please email us.
Podcastpause.com.
Ask us questions. Thing.
Yeah, don't ask us dumb questions, though. Only good questions.
No, you can ask us dumb questions.
You can? Okay.
I got some dumb answers. That's just for those dumb questions.
That's true. Visit us on Facebook, of course.
Yeah, post some stuff on The Thing.
Those of you who haven't done so, please go to iTunes and write us a review.
Write us a review if you haven't.
Yeah.
No one's done that in like 2 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Because that gives us a little more exposure on the old iTunes.
True. And we got to figure out our, I know it's a couple months off still, but we got to figure out our schedule with Todd if he's going to be in town because I'm actually going to be...
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year almost.
Out of town for a couple of days during the holidays.
Where do you think you're going, mister?
I got some plans. But I'm going to Christmastown. I'm going to visit Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see downtown Chicago? They are doing, and I think they did last year too. They, for a couple weeks, they have Christmas Story the Musical.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's, like, what theater?
Chicago Theater.
Huh. Now, when they do Elf the Musical, then sign me up.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially if they could get that Zooey Deschanel in there. That's all I'm saying about that.
What's up with New Girl, like, getting picked up for an entire season, and then it's off for a month?
I don't like the way they schedule
after
shows.
After like three episodes. It's
I just
terrible.
I do not like the way
also,
they schedule
Glee
shows.
Hasn't been on for like 3 weeks either.
I just want, when you start a show, just start it and then finish it. Yeah. Don't take any breaks.
Right.
I don't need any breaks.
Take the breaks when it's over.
Yeah. And then, you know what? Get another show and put that in the break.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. So, contact us, ask us questions, say nice things about us on iTunes. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.